everybody. Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind. And Kevin O'Donohue, of course, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We are back with you here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. Kevin, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And today we have a special guest. We got a lot of good feedback, Kevin, didn't we, when we had Lisa on to talk about the Women's March. A lot of great feedback on that. A lot of women who have been listening to The Positive Mind for a long time as well as a short time. And we feel...
And a lot of men. I had one person tell me that he wept listening to our show.
Yeah.
About the Lisa show.
Sure.
Yeah, so...
So, Kevin and I, we spoke, and we've decided that we would like to have more women's voices here on The Positive Mind.
Yes.
We feel that it adds a lot to the program, and it adds a lot to the sound. I mean, who wants to hear two guys just going on and on all day, right?
You know, and psychotherapy is no longer a male-dominated field. You know,
right.
When Sigmund Freud started it all back in the day, it was all male-dominated, and now it's actually female-dominated.
Well, just look around the Positive Mind Center here on West 57th Street, and it's, you know, what would you say? Our psychotherapists are 80% women at this point, or close to it?
Yes, but the men here are very strong.
The men here are great. That's not to say anything about the men. But on that note, Kevin, we went ahead and decided that we wanted to have another guest on the show from the center, another one of our colleagues. And so today we've invited into the studio our colleague here at the center, Julia Colangelo. Julia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here.
It's a pleasure. And Julia is a psychotherapist here at the Positive Mind Center on West 57th Street. So it was very easy for us to contact her because, you know, all we had to do was knock on her office door and invite her in and ask her if she wanted to be a part of this. And we're so glad that she did.
And let me tell you why we brought her into this center, because Julia practices a very special type of psychotherapy. She specializes in short-term therapy. A lot of clients do not have the time, the wherewithal, the money to come and do, you know, extensive therapy. And sometimes issues require extensive therapy. But a lot of the time, people just need a short-term focus. They need to focus on something with somebody who cares, somebody who can keep them focused on a specific topic, an issue. And Julia is a specialist in this. Julia, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. And I'm really excited to talk about my approach to therapy and how I can help clients really focus on one thing at a time and prioritize what problem they want to address first, and then which goal they meet first.
So what struck me about your therapy is that it can be used by a lot of people, even people, you know, who can't go to a therapist and just want to do some therapy on their own. First of all, talk about what short-term therapy is. What do you first look for? What do you start off with a client?
Yeah, so...
And where do you take it?
So those are great questions, and those are questions that people usually Google, and then they end up finding me because they search for something like, how do I get better faster? Or how do I, you know, I'm feeling stuck. And so short-term therapy, there are a lot of different variations, but the way that I practice is I prioritize which problem and which goal the client wants to meet first. So it focuses, it identifies that, yes, a client might be struggling with anxiety, stress, a divorce, but that they really are feeling that their housing situation is their biggest problem.
Mm.
So short-term therapy focuses which identified problem needs to be addressed first.
Let's cut to the chase, right?
Let's identify
the primary issue that's creating the most stress and anxiety, and let's tackle it head on.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So people come in very clearly on what they want to talk about.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, it strikes me as very different than long-term therapy or traditional psychotherapy, because oftentimes people come in with their first complaint, and as therapists we know that what's really bothering them is something else, so they'll think they'll come in and talk about the divorce, let's say, but really it's something that's bothering them from a long time ago. That's traditional therapy.
Absolutely.
Your clients come in and say, yes, it is the divorce. I want to talk about the divorce. I only want to talk about the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you can help me with the divorce, and let's go.
That's exactly right. That's how we do it.
That's it.
And so what's interesting is that a lot of my clients either also, as in addition to my treatment, will work with a long-term therapist to address maybe anything underlying, but ours is very action-oriented, is like problem-solving together, and nothing is looked upon as a failed, you know, a failed attempt at trying to solve a problem. And there's kind of a breakdown that we use together. I'm going to go through it today.
Great.
And really discuss how we can work collaboratively. And it doesn't dismiss any historical past. It doesn't dismiss anything that they might be struggling with chronically. But this is a very action-oriented treatment.
Wonderful, wonderful.
What do you mean by action-oriented?
Yeah. So I'm working hard. I even have on my website, I'm not the sit back and nod therapist. I am there. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to give you some homework. And I'm going to expect you to do it.
That's interesting, because I think that's a problem that a lot of people have with traditional therapy, is they feel that their therapist just kind of, as you said, sits back and nods. And you're more proactive than that.
I am, and it's because we're focused on a goal. And I joke that sometimes my clients get a little irritated that they'll sit down and I'll say, okay, so how'd your practice go? That's what I call homework. How'd your practice go?
Right.
And they'll say, you know, well, this week, you know, and I'll say, you know, we can definitely talk about what the obstacles that got in the way and how can I support you to get, you know, from a 6 to a 6.25, closer to your goal of a 10, right? So just that incremental, and maybe we can use our 45 minutes to do enough, but maybe there's one little action outside, whether it's filling out a paper or printing a paper that we can fill out together.
This is why you're such a great addition to the center here, because a client could be stuck with a particular therapist here, and I'll say, well, look, you can just go over to Julia, and she'll focus you for 3 sessions, 5 sessions on a particular thing, and then you can come back to your original therapist and go from there.
So I have a question about what you just talked about as homework, which is interesting to me. So you send people home, and you give them something to think about. I don't want to call it an assignment, but you guide them.
I call it that sometimes.
No, it is. It's called an assignment.
Okay, so you do call it an assignment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So what about our listeners right now who are struggling with an issue, who are dealing with something that they want to work on? Can you give them some advice at home right now? How can they use a technique that you share with your clients
absolutely
to overcome what's their most pressing issue right now?
That's a great idea. So I'm wondering if we
Hold on. How can they use one? Sorry, time out.
Yeah.
What about people listening at home? How can they use your techniques to? Sorry, I just got thrown off completely, but it's okay. But see, that's why it's okay that we're not live.
I'm going to get a water. You want a water?
No, thank you. It's okay that we're not live because we just got thrown off.
No problem.
This is all good. This is all getting cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're good. So I need to get back. I was surfing that wave, and I need to hit that rhythm back.
Hit that. I'm a surfer.
You know? You're a surfer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about just getting back up. And it is, you know, so
How are you feeling, by the way?
Great.
You have a great voice for
thank
this.
You.
No, you do. You have a great voice. You can do voiceover or radio for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, since we're cutting this out, I'm going to jump right into an example so we can...
Yeah, so
let me break it down, and I can give my like kind of formula.
Yeah. Let me ask the question.
You give the question, and then one of you give the idea, whether it's, okay, so I'm, you know,
you okay?
struggling with some anxiety or some depression. Or,
you sick?
No.
All right. Okay,
and
so
I
want to go back to something that you mentioned just earlier about homework. No, because I want to keep us laughing about calling in an assignment.
So, you just interrupted by saying, so how can the listener at home?
So how can our listeners at home who are struggling with something right now, how can they use the techniques that you provide your clients in these short-term sessions, these assignments that you give? What can people do right now sitting at home? Because we like to give people tools, techniques. I mean, we talk about ideas, concepts, and guests, but we like to give people practical, useful techniques that they can use. What would you tell our listeners right now?
Yeah, so this is a great idea, and I think I want to reiterate that this is for something that's accessible, right? So something like a housing issue, something like a panic attack, something like a recent breakup, something that is not a chronic, ongoing psychological diagnosis.
Okay.
So this is something that again, all of our listeners at home can really work
something
on.
Something that is measurable,
something that's definitely measurable, and something that you can write, you know, post on your mirror, look at every day. It's the opposite of an affirmation. It is an assignment. It is some homework and practice and something to hold yourself accountable. If you don't have a therapist or a partner or someone else to say, hey, how's it going on that goal you set a few months ago? So how I like to start it with a client is we write down all of their problems. All of their problems.
That can take a whole session in itself.
It can. However, and I'll get to this later in the show, I have an intake process that many clients complete prior to meeting with me. So that couple of hours is usually spent. It takes me about an hour to review it on my own time. Mm-hmm. And by the time they get to my office, I know.
Okay.
I have an idea for their problems. Mm-hmm. So let's say, let's do it right here. Let's write out an example.
I am having trouble with my son. He doesn't listen to anything I tell him. His father is away most of the time. He travels. And he's just uncontrollable. I don't know what to do with him.
So what I'm writing down is I'm going to write down a list of problems, and I want the listeners back home to do the same. So write down a few of the problems. So my son is not listening.
Right.
Is he also struggling with screen time? Most teenagers are.
Cell phone. I can't get him away from
it.
I was thinking of punishing him and taking away his phone, but then, you know, he hates me, and then his father's not available, so I can't win with that.
Yeah.
We're also struggling financially.
Okay, so struggling financially, that's
the
third.
And the kids don't know about that. I have anxiety most of the time when I wake up in the morning.
So you can't, can you sleep?
Barely.
Okay.
You know, I'm watchful in my sleep. I never wake up feeling rested.
Let me guess, did your car break down this week also?
No, but 3 weeks ago my car broke down.
Okay, so some car issues historically, possibly. Anything else?
Well, how long do you have? I mean, my sister and I are fighting.
Okay.
You know, and she also doesn't listen to me. My mother is dying. You know, the doctor says she has probably 6 months to 2 years to live, and I feel terrible about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way I look, my weight. I'm overweight. I don't like the car I drive. The one car that we have for the household is breaking down.
So listeners,
I have a whole lot of.
I'm writing all
change.
This.
I'm going through a change in my life.
And listening to Kevin, and even though, again, I'm a short-term focused therapist, I'm providing empathy. Right? I'm looking him in his eyes.
Yeah.
I'm supporting him. I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
I disclose that I have to take notes. I'm taking them in front of him. He sees what I'm writing, and that's a very empathetic approach. And I'm not invalidating anything. All of these are problems. And you have a lot going on. So I have listed 10 items. Son's not listening. Son's addicted to screen time. Mm-hmm. You're struggling financially. You have anxiety. You can barely sleep. You have ongoing car issues. You don't like the car that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting with your sister. You have a terminally ill mother, and you have weight issues.
Yeah.
So what I do next is I say, again, you've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
I'm here for you, and we're going to work through this together.
And I have to say, you know, it's the eye contact you were making as I was making this list that made me feel you were a therapist. I mean, that's what we go to therapy for. Just, you know, you could write this list down at home and be helpful.
Yeah.
But also to have somebody who's making eye contact, nodding, agreeing, sympathizing, really present with you as you were probably saying these things for the first time. I see the value in that.
Yeah. And that's the importance of having some sort of a relationship. The offer of short-term therapy, it's a bonus. I will always see clients long-term. I've worked with people for 5 years at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a specific approach that I like because it can focus therapy. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't even know what I spoke to my therapist about. And at the very least, this will say, well, we made a list of something. So usually this just takes a few minutes. And then I say, I'm going to help you with something. Which item do you feel like accessible
to solve
that we can really focus in on today out of this list?
Read me the list again, because
your son is not listening. Your son's addicted to screen time. You're struggling financially. You're anxious. You barely sleep. You have car issues. You're fighting with your sister. You have a terminally ill mother. You have weight issues, and you don't like the car. Fighting with your sister.
Yeah.
So what we would do is we would say this is the identified problem. And for the listeners back home, I really want you to not become overwhelmed with your list, But just notice it, right? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about mindfulness a little bit later, but just noticing it and not judging yourself.
I hope if you're at home that you do have that pen and paper. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Our guest today, Julia Colangelo, she's helping us work through some issues, telling us about short-term therapy. We'll get a little bit more later on cognitive behavioral therapy, but I hope if you're out there with your pen and your paper that this is shedding some light for you on how you can tackle these issues.
Beautiful, Ben. Thank you.
And so we then write a second column saying the identified problem. So today our identified problem is the fighting with your sister.
Yeah.
So then what we do is we pinpoint, instead of what some people might say are failed attempts, we say attempted solutions. So what have you tried to do? And that
I've
maybe
gone to
has fallen short or been effective.
Yeah.
You've gone to her home.
I've gone to her home. Tried to have face-to-face time with her, and she won't allow it. I've called her on the phone 3 or 4 times a week. I've called her husband and asked him to intervene. I mention it to other family members to see if they can smooth over our difficulties. And I've even, sent her cards in the mail. You know, maybe we can make up. Yeah, maybe we can make up for mom's sake, you know, because mom doesn't have much time and she wants to see a unified family.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things.
So I would say to my client, I would say, Kevin, you've done a lot. You really worked hard at trying to resolve this discord with your sister.
Yeah.
And have any of these attempts been any bit effective?
Her husband. When I spoke to her husband, that was the most helpful. Because he saw that I was hurting, and he told her that, and apparently she said, you know, she was sympathetic a little bit, but she still didn't want to speak to me. But that seemed to have made the most effect.
And so in short-term therapy, then we would say, from these attempted solutions, do you think there's anything kind of completely different that we could try as our next attempt together?
I'd have to think about it, but...
And that's what our session is
for. Maybe I could buy tickets to something.
Let's brainstorm here. What? And that's what our session is kind of used for. So, what would be the opposite of things, of what you've done? It sounds like the going to her home, the calling her, anything direct to her, even the sending of the cards?
Not even trying. Maybe that would be the best thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
That would be the opposite.
Is that...
You don't think I should call her? You don't think I should talk to her husband?
I mean, what I'm saying is, if you've tried these attempted solutions, how long have you tried these 5 attempts?
At least 6 or 7 months.
So that's a long time for something to be even, you know, slightly ineffective.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying that the only thing that was effective, we're going to circle that, is calling the husband to intervene.
Yep.
So we're not going to discredit any of this. This is what most of us would do. I would too.
Sure.
But I would say to myself, after 6 to 8 months, I'm still not seeing a change in our relationship. And guess what? I'm spending money, time, energy, sleepless nights thinking about her and our relationship.
I think a lot of people out there can relate to that situation.
Yeah. And so what we would do is, in a solution, you named it. I didn't.
That's true. You just asked the question. Yeah,
and that's what we need people in our lives to do. That's why coming and setting aside this time, having it be in a therapy session, having it be in a workshop, having it be
because I never would have thought of this on my own. I never would have said, "Oh, just stop trying, and feel good about it." I mean, I could do that, but somehow talking to you about it, working on this with you makes sense. I could share that with you and be okay with it.
And I would support you in this decision. Where perhaps other family members might say, whoa, ignore would be the worst thing. How could you ignore your sister? You know, all the criticism of maybe people who are more invested in that specific relationship. I care so much about you and your sister resolving this discord.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know yet. This is our first session. I don't know yet even what caused it.
You know, but it's occurring to me, the fact that you wrote this down and... I'm hearing you give it back to me. It does make sense that after 6 to 8 months, I would stop doing this. That it makes sense. You know, but I would not have thought of that until, you know, you gave it back to me, the question, what would you do differently? And I think everybody out there could relate to this being a sensible solution for this woman. 6 to 8 months, she's trying to reach her sister, not any response. Hey, stop trying.
Yeah. And what we would do then is that would be the solution. I send this paper back home with the client.
Just one piece of paper with this on it.
With all of these lists.
Oh, okay.
And so they have it,
yeah.
And they have it as a reference, and with that solution, that's what we're going to try this week, or this couple of weeks, whenever we decide to meet again.
Mm.
And people come to me when they say, I feel stuck. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are saying already at home, I already have this one identified problem that I am stuck on,
right.
And I... You know, myself, my girlfriend, mm-hmm. my friends, my family, we can't seem to get around this one thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I invite people to meet with a person like me, because I kind of help them get unstuck in a,
right.
with a very tangible, concrete kind of formula.
Mm.
And this is something someone can do at home. And what we would do over the course of treatment is we would see how does ignoring her impact the relationship with her, the relationship with these other problems.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm. Is your son now listening because you're not spending all your time obsessing over, you know, Facebook or the
right.
phone that,
right.
that, you know, your sister's not engaging with you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you less worried about your car issues because you don't have to try to drive 3 hours to try to visit her?
Yeah.
It just can kind of prioritize one little step in someone's improving of their self-esteem, feeling better about themselves. Yeah. And I'll follow up with them. The first question I would ask the next week would be, you know, I know we talked about this. Where does it stand?
Mm.
How is your practice, your assignment, right?
Right.
In
right,
ignoring
right.
her.
Mm-hmm. I could also see it, you know, as opening up a sense in that first session of other emotional things because you're in front of somebody who is empathic with you. You know, and you know or you think you're only going to be here for a short time, you get the feeling of being in therapy, and then you get the sense, well, wait a second, this feels much bigger than I'm willing to deal with in this type of therapy. So, you know, a lot of people come, everybody who comes to therapy can in some way or other say they're stuck. They feel stuck, but they just don't know how or what the being stuck is. This gives you a whole list of things that you could be stuck on. And then you're in the driver's seat to pick which one to start with. And then you, as you're going through them, can sense which ones are going to take up a lot of, you know, I need to process more, I need to spend more time with, and which ones I can really face head on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like this as a real nice tool to, and the fact that you give homework. Now, what is that all about?
So the homework is, in this case, it would be something not necessarily written, but that someone kind of has on their mind, maybe on their notes on their phone or on their to-do list at
home.
That's
the kind of homework I like.
Yeah. saying ignore your sister. So let's say every day you used to have a note saying, call sister at 5 p.m. or show up at 8 p.m. when you know she's home.
See, I like to make it a little softer. That's kind of harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Ignore your sister. I would say, like, do not give in to the temptation to reach out to your sister today.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And with mindfulness, we would talk about,
what do you
like,
think of that, Ben?
noticing the feelings of wanting to, noticing them, not judging yourself for having the thought that you want to call your sister, just putting it on the mental shelf. I have a big mental shelf, all my clients do, where we just take things, instead of judging ourselves for feeling or thinking certain things or feeling an impulse to do a certain thing, such as call a sister, you just put it gently on the shelf. You notice it there. You revisit it. You don't stare
like
at it.
I like it.
And then you come back.
But what if she wants to come in and say all the ways I judged myself for not calling my sister this week, all of the ruminations about this? What do you do with that?
We talk about it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, because...
And we engage in it, and I remind, right, I do a lot of mindfulness activities where we say, okay, well, while you're doing this, is there a moment that you can pull yourself away into the present moment? And then let yourself linger in those thoughts and then bring yourself back. My hunch is that this client would find, you know, maybe an increase in anxiety, a slight
Absolutely.
Increase,
of course.
And then a dissipation. And that's why in this case, where it would be something with an interpersonal relationship, they'd likely come back. But there's no obligation to for a client. They know that as part of this relationship, I am always accessible and available. And there's always a holding space in my room for them, no matter what. And that there's never an obligation, you know, because I'm sensitive to the financial concern, to logistically, to come back.
That's a big problem for a lot of people as to why they aren't ready or willing or able to get into therapy. It's just beyond the money, even. I have to be somewhere every week. You know, that's a stressor. I have to lay out, you know, money every week. I mean, there are a lot of logistical factors, like you said.
Sure.
But I think this example that you're talking about of a family conflict between someone and their sister, aren't these some of the most difficult conflicts to resolve because there is that family lifetime link?
Absolutely.
And you can't just necessarily walk away. I mean, it's a very hard thing to do.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. That's why this, in this scenario, it would be try this for a week and either come back and let's talk about how you felt or, you know, give me a call. If you feel like you just want to give me an update and say, actually, the week of ignoring her after 6 months of mildly harassing her, she's called me back and wants to get lunch next week.
Right.
And I would...
Figure.
But I would tell you that that's often how it works.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
When we do a flip of things.
Yeah, and it's a push-pull.
And in this example, I started with problems because often clients say, this is my problem, this is my problem.
Yeah.
I am a solution-focused and goal-oriented therapist.
And that is, folks, by the way, that is a particular type of therapy they teach in graduate school.
Absolutely.
I learned it.
Yeah.
So, and it's very targeted. It's a very specific. It's well-known treatment.
Yeah.
So it's got foundation to it.
Yep.
My question is, like, you leave it open for people to come next week?
Yes.
Always? I mean, what if they tell you right then and there, okay, I'll work on this. I'll be back next week at this time.
Oh, then I offer them an appointment and then they come back. Okay. I would say giving the client the opportunity to choose has actually led to, I would say, 90% of my clients attend therapy with me on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
10% a monthly or as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that, you know, when children are on vacation, I might not see a parent for a month. And that's okay. They know I'm accessible by phone or email. Mm. If they have an update, if I have a question for them, sometimes I'll send a message saying, hey, how are you doing on your practice? It's been a month.
Yeah. Because that commitment is something that scares a lot of people off of therapy.
Yes, it does.
And giving people the option to have it a la carte, I think, is reassuring for a lot of people.
Yes.
And makes people feel a lot safer.
And I guarantee that they don't, you know, that exact time and date might not be available and usually isn't, but it teaches them flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
It shows my flexibility and my scheduling and my, you know, office location in everything that I offer. And and that flexibility is modeled. And again, the communication is open. The therapeutic relationship is one of the most important relationships.
Do you do phone sessions?
I do,
Yeah. Okay.
In New York State and New Jersey.
Because I just think it's more fulfilling for a client to actually have the warmth, the empathy in the room. I mean, Skyping and phone calls can work.
It's not the same, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I completely agree. And for a client, let's say, with a chronic illness who had a sudden breakup and who...
Yeah.
You know, had a snow day, then I'll offer a sequence of a few phone sessions, FaceTime sessions in lieu of our sessions.
I also think it would be nice, like, look, can I do a 2-hour session with you?
That's happened as well.
You know, because...
And we do this work with couples as well. I do this in couple sessions
with
families. I have them each write their own list at home sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, this is very flexible. And the thing about... This we're naming problems, but the next phase is naming the goals.
Okay.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're going to take a short musical break. We're here with our guest, Julia Colangelo, telling us a little bit about short-term therapy and some more that she's going to be doing here at The Positive Mind Center with us. You can always send us emails, positivemind@wbai.org. Again, we're taking a short musical break, and we'll be back after this with more from Julia Colangelo. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI on this Wednesday as the snow continues to melt. Still a little bit hanging around, but I guarantee you by this time next week when we're on the air on Tuesday, we'll be rid of the snow, finally. And spring will have sprung, I hope. Anyway, I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. Our guest today, Julia Colangelo, our colleague here at the Positive Mind Center on 57th Street. It's great to have you here, Julia. I just wanted to let our listeners know that you are putting together, well, you have already done this, but you're putting together another women's workshop, and you already ran one. We got a lot of great feedback on it. We're doing another one, and we wanted to alert our listeners about this one and the possibility to be a part of this one. So that's going to be taking place April 3rd, 10th, and 17th. It's a three-session workshop, and if you'd like to be part of Julia's Women's Skills Workshop, you can call us here at 212-757-4488. Tell us briefly, and give us a general idea of the workshop.
Yeah, so it's a women's skills workshop. We had a great one in the past, and it just really focuses on building skills for dealing with anxiety in a group setting, in a confidential group setting. It's short term, it's time limited, and you leave the session with your yearly goals and some skills in the group to regulate your emotions.
And,
so to
and this
feel
is going
to
be
calmer.
A small group too, right? You're
really
limiting?
Small. I'm limiting it to five people.
Okay. So
five
again,
women.
if you or a woman in your life is interested in this, the place to reach us is 212-757-4488 for more information about the Women's Skills Workshop with Julia Colangelo. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. You are tuned into The Positive Mind as we continue our discussion with Julia.
Well, I'm fascinated with this as women's skills. When are you going to do a women's and men's skills? And are these particular skills for women? I mean, explain that to me.
These skills are for every person, every child.
Okay.
I teach these same skills to 3-year-olds.
Oh, really?
However, this specific workshop is for women.
Okay.
I find that homogeneous.
And you mentioned anxiety.
Settings.
What is right? Is that the organizing symptom? People come, oh, I have anxiety. Let me go to Julia's workshop.
Anxiety and stress are part of the human experience,
They're
not necessarily diagnosable. Some people don't meet the criteria, but still benefit from relaxation techniques, mindfulness techniques, and really dealing with their overall emotional state, whether it's work stress, relationship stress,
so
anything like that.
Let's talk about emotions, because it sounds to me if short-term therapy might be leaving out emotions. Are they being left out?
In my opinion, they're not.
Tell me.
I feel like we talk about them all the time. What we had done a few minutes ago was laying out kind of this formula and this plan of action and giving some assignment for the week ahead.
Yeah. What is it? The core identifier? What is it called?
Yeah, the identified problem and then the identified solution.
Okay.
And we're going to give it a try. But the rest of the session is talking about the obstacles for getting to that attempted solution and the emotions. Getting, you know, that might
what,
come
what
up.
What emotions sabotage me? What emotions get in my way for me to get to this goal?
Exactly.
Do women cry in this workshop? I mean, I would imagine, you know.
And I feel that, and I've cried as well.
Yeah,
Seeing the progress and the growth within over
Wonderful.
Just 3 weeks.
Okay.
And so I think that in this treatment, what's fabulous about it is that you can just practice it at any point in the day. You're riding the subway. You're thinking about, gosh, I just can't respond to this one email. I'm just stuck with this one line of communication. Well, how have you tried it in the past? Right? And you kind of can just break it down in your head. Again, it's very accessible. And why a lot of people find that these sorts of skills and this sort of layout helps with anxiety and stress is because they come up regularly for everyone.
Sure.
Right? We're in New York.
Right.
Our commute, just walking to the office, walking to the train, leaving the front door. We drop our keys in the snow. We slip, there's a stressor every block.
Yeah.
And so I find that a lot of the tools that I'll kind of share with clients and teach clients are things that they might already know, but might need to just relearn.
To me, it sounds like it's a chance to organize my anxiety, organize my stress, and focus it on one particular thing. And yes, I'll hear other women's issues, different goals for themselves, but it's a way for me to take all this energy and focus it on a specific identified problem.
Yeah. And again, because I'm solution focused, I would change the language after doing this first example with a client to goal. What are all of your goals? Right. And often they're the opposite of all the problems. Right. So they're the same items, but it's, you know, instead of
so I want to control
my son's not listening. I want my son to listen. Right. I have car issues. I have financial issues. I don't have car issues. I have a great financial situation. So it's it's renaming it we're the positive mind center. So it reframes it in a positive way. This is just useful for the first time. The second step is always focused on goals. And
that's much more empowering.
Energizing. Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll share them in the workshop setting, and we'll share them in individual sessions. And I'll often, this treatment, because I'm not psychoanalyzing a client, this allows for self-disclosure when it's appropriate. This allows for me to say, you know, often people will say, well, what do I want my goal for April to be professionally or personally? Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to say, well, this is, you know, my professional goal is this, and my personal goal is, you know, this.
Oh, so you can have categories of goals.
Yes. So that's how we do this in the workshop. I do this individually and with couples as well, around family planning, around moving, around saving for an apartment. Things that, again, are maybe people don't assume you need to go to therapy for, but
you're paying for the empathy. You're paying for just a soft face to tell your story to. And get all the things that you don't even know you have in you out on a piece of paper so that you can look at it and say, what's a new way to approach this?
Yeah, and a workshop setting allows for feedback. If no one is ever required to share anything, but often members do choose that they would like to share an example and ask for feedback. We also talk about kind of ways to be kind to ourselves. How are you guys kind to yourselves?
It's so important. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, everyone understands the value of kindness towards others, and it's very easy to overlook the importance of being kind to oneself. Mm. And I love that you brought that up.
So how do you do it? Do you have any particular... I know for me, one of the when I find myself rushing, and I know those feelings in my gut, I just stop. That's the way I care for myself. But I also, you know, so I only can care for myself after I have some negative stimuli or event.
And what if I were to say to you, Ben, what's your favorite, like, tea or hot chocolate beverage that, like, you don't really treat yourself to, but, like, once in a while you do?
You know what I like? And this is, people are going to laugh when they hear this, but I like a glass of whole milk with a little bit of honey mixed in, pop it in the microwave. That really, I don't know. I love that.
So, Ben, how often do you treat yourself to that?
Very rarely, maybe once a year.
So what if I were to say, not when you're having a bad day, but just every Sunday, you treat
every Sunday
yourself
night.
And you be kind to yourself and give yourself that gesture and just... And that is your personal goal for the rest of 2017, is that once a week you be kind to yourself in that way that you know no matter what you're feeling, that glass of whole milk with honey microwaved is going to soothe you and say, wow, this is calming me down. This is a gesture to myself.
Gosh.
It's not expensive. I'm just going to do this once a week.
What I've been trying to do lately is take care of myself physically in a better way than I have in the past. And I'm starting that by trying to go to sleep earlier and earlier. You know, it's very difficult because I know a lot of people out there are in the same boat. You work all day and then you get home and you want to unwind. You want to relax. You know, it's almost automatic. You might sit on the couch. You might get on the TV or the computer. But the problem with that is that that's not actually helping you unwind. It's the more screen time that's actually winding you back up. And so I've been really struggling to avoid that and just get right in bed as soon as I get home. earlier and earlier. And the earlier I get in bed, the better I feel in the morning and the better I feel about myself.
See, I like
that. What a great example. Yeah, that is a great example. Thank you for sharing that, Ben.
And remember Joe Cardillo when we did the body intelligence about using music, beats per minute. I mean, to me, to go home and just to go right to bed, you need something to unwind. But that was one tool Joe told us about, that you could program certain types of music for different parts of your day to get you animated or to unwind.
And
that's something I think I'm looking forward to enact. But what I like about what you're saying is that goal making, you know, I shudder when I say make a goal. You know,
a lot of people do.
I just have a reaction to that. But you're making goals good because you're incorporating it with it self-compassion and taking care of yourself. Ben has this reward at the end of the week, a glass of milk with some honey in it. Is this what you incorporate into the goal making with people? Okay, you're going to make a goal, but also you need to get yourself a payoff.
And some people often say, well, it's got to be, you know, this promotion of this amount of money, or I need to buy a house or something that's very big. Okay, so if you want to buy a house by January 2018, what do you do now? Oh, well, you start getting some research. You start saving that extra $20 or $40 a week. Mm-hmm. You start taking steps now, or else we close our eyes and quickly we're in 2018.
But people can oftentimes get so over-identified with the goal that they're starving themselves internally. Okay, I have to make my $20, $40 extra. I have to work an extra job to get that house. I have to.
I see that sometimes, and I feel that's part of this process and part of being mindful and part of still having, right, the microwaved milk with honey.
Okay.
And I'm interested in doing a mindfulness activity with you guys here.
I was
going to
say, you're a goal regulator. Take us through your goal. Part of what you do is you regulate goals. People on their way to achieving their goals is your regulator. But yes, do this mindfulness with us.
So we talked a little bit about anxiety and stress. Let's say people were feeling really, really, you know, overwhelmed. They come into my office. They said, you know, I really can't orient myself to my goals this week. I'm feeling very overwhelmed and stressed. I always keep popcorn in my office, and this is an activity that I'll do as many times as needed in a session. So we're actually going to do it
popcorn
right here.
Yeah. Oh, there it goes right now. You got a bag of popcorn.
Got a bag of popcorn. So everyone is going in the room is going to take it and not eat it. Just one piece.
Just one
piece.
One, Kevin. One just one.
And so I'm looking at the clock, and I'm setting the clock for 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
And so what we're going to do is each of us looking at a piece of popcorn.
Have you ever looked at one of these things up close
and
before?
Describe it.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds to yourself.
Oh. Okay. For radio purposes, we're going to move forward. But go ahead.
And then we're going to share with each other. What do you notice about this popcorn?
It looks like the moon. It has craters like the moon.
I'll tell you the truth. It feels stale in my hands.
Okay.
I can guarantee it's not stale.
what else? So okay.
Mine has a kernel. Mine's not fully popped. Uh-huh. I can tell it's not too greasy. So we describe it, right? So I'll do this in session with an actual piece of popcorn.
Right.
And then, either with this piece or another piece, we put it in our mouths.
Okay.
And don't bite down on it for a minute. For radio purposes, we're just going to do 20 seconds.
Okay. Now I got a piece of popcorn in my mouth. Okay.
So go ahead. We're not going to take 20 seconds.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You can talk. Okay. So we let the popcorn.
I bit mine,
this
sorry.
Is the first on the positive mind here. Well, tomorrow it's chocolate.
Yeah. So we let it melt in our mouths. Mm-hmm. A piece of popcorn melt in your mouth. Most people don't do that on a regular basis.
Right.
You eat, more eat. The idea of letting it melt in your mouth, it kind of disintegrates.
Yeah.
But this is a very accessible for our listeners back home mindfulness activity that you can do right now listening. And it, no matter what anxiety, depression, anger, rage you're feeling, describing a piece of popcorn and letting it disintegrate in your mouth for 1 minute will thrust you into the present moment.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Yep. And Then you can go back to your rage, your stress, your anxiety.
You're incorporating some gestalt in here. This is like an old Fritz Perls
Absolutely.
Thing, chewing.
Absolutely. And so, again, this is something for our listeners back home, and that in the workshop, in sessions, I regularly integrate if I notice someone's becoming dysregulated or becoming upset or just can't stop fidgeting and says, you know,
Popcorn time.
I don't know what's up with me right now. We'll integrate something like that. So,
beautiful.
You are tuned in to The Positive Mind. If you're just tuning in, we're sitting with our guest, Julia Colangelo. She's telling us about the short-term therapy work that she does. We heard a little bit about the workshop that's coming up here at the Positive Mind Center, Women's Skills Workshop. And this is going to be the second time you've run this, Julia.
Yes.
The first time we got some really good feedback on, you've been limiting these groups to a small size. This next one is going to be limited to 5 women only. And it's taking place April 3rd, 10th, and 17th. So it's a 3-session workshop. It's 1 hour at a time. This is a group setting, very confidential, very safe environment, very loving and understanding environment. If you're interested in being a part of this workshop, for more information, give us a call here at the center, 212-757-4488. Again, that's going to be April 3rd, 10th, and 17th. And tell me more about that. I mean, I know you limited it to 5 people this time. How does that change the dynamic? It sounds like a very intimate group.
It's a very intimate setting. The members feel comfortable, feel safe. We have everyone, of course, like anything, sign a waiver of confidentiality where they know that their information will not be shared. And so it's really important because it allows clients, you know, to just feel like they're a member of this workshop. They're attending a workshop. They don't need to go ahead and say, well, I'm in therapy now. They can say, this is part of me learning to better myself, take care of myself, manage my anxiety, manage my stress. And it really is just, I mean, the form of therapy that I'm trained in, we call it teaching. And we call the sessions workshops or classes. And you're there to learn. And you're there, and you're expected to do some work when
you
leave.
That sounds exciting.
It's very exciting.
I want to go back to something that you told us about a little earlier in the program, Julia. You talked about writing down people should be writing down their challenges and their problems, but you've also advocated writing down daily achievements and looking at the list of achievements regularly. So are we talking like no achievement is too small?
No achievement is too small.
And so just write them all down on a piece of paper. Give me an idea of what that does for people. And for people listening at home, how that is something that they could benefit from.
So that is something that I encourage most of my clients to do. It's something that I practice daily as well. And it can be, let's piece apart my day. Showed up to work early.
Okay.
That's an achievement for
Definitely.
Me, right? Showed up to work early. Treated myself to a wonderful breakfast. Showed up on time for the radio show, and that's just half the day,
right?
And that and writing it down for me, I keep it in my iPhone, I keep it in my notes. It's something that I review, I look back on, and even if it's a snow day, and you know I had an issue at work or something.
So how does it differ from affirmations? How does it differ?
For me, it's just keeping track and knowing that you're headed in the right direction.
Right.
Affirmations, maybe you say something positive every day. I'm such a supporter of those. I engage in that and I support that and encourage listeners to at home. But this is really noticing that when you scroll through your list or when you look in a journal after you've written for a few days or a few weeks, you say, wow, oh my gosh. You know, look at what I've done in March already.
And I want to share some other techniques that you're an advocate of that can help our listeners at home, because we do try to give our listeners tools, right? Techniques, tools. I mean, we talk about ideas, concepts, and guests here on The Positive Mind, but one thing that we always strive to do is leave our listeners with something very practical, something very useful that they can implement in their lives. You are an advocate of something that I've never heard of it mentioned in this way, but you talk about bibliotherapy. Tell me about that.
So bibliotherapy is incorporating literature as a form of therapy, either in the session or at outside of the session. So
what kind of literature are we talking?
anything from, I have a lot of clients often say, well, I know I have this diagnosis because I Googled it and I already read the book on this diagnosis, you know, let's say PTSD, because I know I've got it. I read the three books on it. I know what psychologists think about this. Mm-hmm. And I say, that's great. You've really done some research, and let's read something else. So I incorporate a lot of, I have like a lending library in my office. Okay. And so I kind of keep track, and any clients are welcome to borrow books, but a lot of them, I can name some for listeners back home.
Yeah. So give us a few titles of books that you recommend for people, I don't know, dealing with anxiety, dealing with stress, family issues, maybe sexual issues.
Yes. So there's a book, there's a Zen teacher called Thich Nhat Hanh. I'm not sure if listeners are...
How do you spell that?
T-H-I-C-H-N-A-H-T-H-A-N. I have to triple check that.
Okay. So Thich Nhat Hanh?
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Thich Nhat Hanh,
yes.
Okay.
And he has these three little books, and they are pocket-sized. They're about the size of an iPhone. And one is How to Eat, How to Love, and How to Relax.
Brilliant.
And... He is a Zen teacher, and they're the type of books that you can read one page and then just sit.
Oh, so you can just kind of pick it up and put it down.
Pick it up, put it down.
You don't have to read it cover to cover.
Yes.
I love that. That's right up my alley.
And it's something that you can incorporate every morning, or you can read with a partner, and you can, you know, the How to Love, it actually has instructions in the back, suggestions from him and from his community, and I couldn't agree more with them. Other books and bibliotherapy suggestions I have for children, I work with a lot of children and families. There, if you just go onto any website and, you know, search books for children dealing with grief or books
That's
for children
one,
with trauma.
That's a big one.
Both of them are.
Yeah.
Yes. And
you work with a lot of children.
A lot of children and families.
Bulk of your practice is families and younger children?
I would say it's 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of the books and the pictures provided for that, like A Home for Choco is a great book about, you know, an adoptive family.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of options, but incorporating that in session, so often I'll read it with a client, with a child and a family, and having it be a resource at home that you don't need to go to therapy. You can address some issues at home.
And ultimately, that's what we want to empower people to be able
absolutely.
To do, is to navigate their own life, their own emotional turmoil, and navigate that themselves and be equipped
mm-hmm.
to deal with that at home. That's ultimately the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think a problem with a lot of traditional therapy is that people get kind of sucked into this recurring thing that might last 5, 10, 15 years. And what you're doing is very interesting to me, because you're giving people a set of tools, a set of skills that they can use. And that's great. I mean, you're doing this women's skills workshop. We definitely look forward to that. That's going to be April 3rd, 10th, and 17th here at West 57th Street, the Positive Mind Center. If you're interested in meeting Julia and being a part of this women's skills workshop, give us a call, 212-757-4488. Julia, it's such a pleasure. I mean, it's really been really very enlightening hearing about this stuff from you. I mean, wow, children and grief, that's a tough one, because I think grown-ups have immense, immense challenges dealing with grief, let alone children. I can't even begin to imagine.
And I often
what a challenge
recommend those same books to adults
okay.
and teens, because even if it just brings up laughter, right?
Yeah.
That can heal all sometimes.
Unbelievable. Well, I want to thank you again for being here, for being on The Positive Mind, Julia. I mean, look, we didn't have to search far to find you. You're just down the hall, and you're a great person to work with, and an even greater person to have on the show. So thanks for being here today, Julia.
Thank you so much, Ben.
And
thanks, Kevin.
For those of you at home, you can send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. With any questions, comments, inquiries you'd like to make, and you can reach us here at the center. Again, our number here, 212-757-4488. As a reminder, Julia will be hosting the Women's Skills Workshop here at the Positive Mind Center, limited to just five participants. Going to be a very intimate group setting, right? So,
you got it.
All right.
I'm so thankful to
all right.
be here today.
So if that's something that you're interested in being a part of, Julia is even more lovely in person than she is on the air.
Thank you, Ben.
Come on in and be a part of that. Give us a call, 212-757-4480. You've been listening to The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr, here with Kevin O'Donohue and Julia Colangelo. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Take care.